Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time. This weekend we read Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And it's the parable of the landowner who goes out and hires laborers for his vineyard. Now, a lot of us, we tend to read this gospel, and I think a lot of us think of the payment that's agreed to as heaven. After all, they all get the same thing. But I don't like that for a couple of reasons. The first is that it puts us in the awkward position of having to argue something that we don't actually believe, which is that heaven is payment for a job well done. No, heaven is a gift. Heaven is a gift that comes from a relationship from an active relationship with God. It is the consequence of being united with God, because heaven is communion for all eternity with God. And so you cannot pay for it. You can only respond to it. And so you can respond to the gift by accepting it or rejecting it. But it is a gift nonetheless. The second reason is because it ignores one of the most fundamental parts of this gospel, of this parable. I say it often that usually it's the parts that aren't said that are the most important parts of a gospel. So, in many ways, I think this parable is Jesus painting a picture of how people end up in church. The first group are there early, they're available, they respond, they agree to a wage, and they, I think, represent the section of the church population that has fully accepted that they have to have a relationship with God, and all that comes with it. I go to Mass, I pray regularly, I do these things. But like many of us who have been in that position, we tend to interact with all the things that have to do with the faith kind of like it's payment for heaven, like it's a transaction. If I do this, God will do that. So that's the first one, and that's the temptation for that group. The second is the larger group. In fact, there's so many of them that the landowner finds them not once, not twice, three times. He finds them 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m. And they're what I call those who are spiritually inert. That means they, like many of us, ended up in church not out of their own initiative, but out of the initiative of somebody else. They're here when somebody is here. They're not here if that person doesn't bring them. They pray when someone initiates prayer, but if no one initiates prayer, it will not come from them. So they're kind of along for the ride if someone remembers to bring them. And some of us, to be honest, we are in that group for a long time. And so the temptation for them is to think that because they've been around religious things, they've been around godly things, that's enough. It's enough to be somewhat religious, to be somewhat faithful, to be somewhat Catholic. And that's it. I pray, well, if we're all going to pray, I go, if we're all going to go, but then there's no personal initiative. The last group is the one I'm most acquainted with, because I used to be in this group. I call them the desperate. And it's a great group. This last group is so desperate to find an answer to their need, to whatever they're suffering with or battling with, that they agree to go without even negotiating a payment or anything. In fact, the landowner just shows up, says, what are you guys doing? Why are you standing here idle all day? And they go, well, we've been looking, but nobody hired us. So they represent the group that ends up in church because they've been looking for an answer to the problem that they're going through, the situation they're suffering through. And somebody has offered them the beginnings of a relationship with the faith, and they jump in. We jump in. We go, I'm desperate enough to try this religious thing out. I need an answer. I'm willing to even give God a shot. That's how I ended up here. Looking for an answer and finally trying God. The problem for that group is that sometimes in engaging with the Lord and in godly things and in good things and in prayer and community, whatever was ailing us subsides. The Lord blesses us with a certain amount of healing and we grow. And then the temptation is, well, I got what I wanted. I revert back to a way of life and to the decisions that I was making before. Or I only engage to the level at which I found relief or healing for what ailed me. Now, why are all these three groups vulnerable? They're all in church. They all represent people who are here right now in church. With each of those groups, with their own blessings and their own vulnerabilities. The main issue at the heart of this parable is that they are all looking, or at least end up in the same place, and not one of them actually bothers to have a relationship with the landowner. Yes, they'll complain, they'll negotiate payment. They'll even answer when given an opportunity. But there is no relationship with the landowner. We keep thinking that the payment at the end of the day is heaven, and it is not. The payment at the end of the day represents the blessings God gives for doing the right thing, for doing good things. He blesses that. However, if heaven is not that, if heaven is the relationship with the Lord, communion with Him, communion with our Savior, that ends in that culminates in a perfect intimacy that lasts forever, then the key component of this parable, and it is the part that they're also missing, which is actually getting to know the landowner, actually making friends with him. Think about it. If they had bothered to get to know the landowner and to establish a friendship with him, are they going to be looking for work again tomorrow? No. Are they going to be uncertain about their future? No. Are they going to have peace that they know where their work is going to come from and who's going to provide and protect them? No. Because it is the relationship that then makes everything better. Heaven is the relationship. It's the perfected relationship. And it's relationship that imbues then everything else that they do, that we do, with meaning and power. Because the sacraments without Christ are nothing. Are nothing. The rituals without the God who makes the rituals powerful are nothing. And as Catholics, we tend to fall into this problem in which we think that because we were at the right place and we did the right thing and we said the right words and came to the right rituals at the right time, that can replace actually having a relationship with the Savior. When in fact, it is the relationship with the Savior that makes those things transformative. They are the culmination of an existing relationship, not the replacement for it. And so the challenge from me to everyone listening is this: get to know Christ deeply. Spend time with him. Open to him your heart, the deepest part of your heart. Share with him everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. Talk to him like you would your best, most trustworthy friend. Be as vulnerable with him as possible. And then after praying that way and giving him time to speak back, to have the last word, then in that intimacy, then come and engage in everything that he's calling you to. Because then everything that we do, from the sacraments to the rituals to the devotions to the prayers, then they're infused with power and meaning. Because of the relationship. Because of the relationship, not in spite of it. It's the relationship that transforms us. It's him, not the ritual. It's him. The ritual is only powerful because of him. And until we get that, we will fall into one of these categories and make the same mistake they all did. They did the work, but because they failed to have a relationship with the landowner, they're just as uncertain as they were the day before.